The gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We've been working through the Gospel of Luke through this year and the 12th verse. It is the tradition of the church to stand out of respect for the gospel, and so if you're able, please stand. The gospel lesson today, as I said, it comes in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It begins with the 13th verse. The first verse of chapter 12 says, "Meanwhile, when the crowds gathered by the thousands, so that they trampled on one another." And so Jesus is really a rock star status right now. Thousands are following him to the point that they are trampling over each other just to be with Jesus and to hear him teach and to see him heal and to be healed by him. The 13th verse begins this way. It's the parable of the rich fool. "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?' And he said to them," the crowd, "'Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions.' Then he told them a parable. 'The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is good to be in your temple, among your people, in the presence of your Spirit, the presence of the Word, in the presence of the body and the blood of Jesus. Lord, help us in this hour and always to appreciate just how blessed we are. We are blessed in many ways, including we are blessed with material blessings. Lord, help us not to keep those for ourselves, but to share them and to be rich toward you. In Christ's name we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we begin this brief meditation before communion, I have to ask the question, what exactly is so foolish about this rich fool? What is so foolish about him? There is so much about him, it seems to me, that is admirable. And if we're honest, I think you might think that too. Here's a man who appears to be a self-made man. Before we get to this parable and before we get to this bumper crop of his, he's already a rich man. He already has wealth, and that's admirable, isn't it? It looks like he got to the top. It looks like we might say that he took that entrepreneurial risk. He put his capital at risk. He could have lost it, but he put it at risk, and he made the business work. And he became wealthy. He participated in the community by providing employment and contributing to the community in ways that maybe he didn't even recognize. This looks like a man who should be admired, does it not? It really does. And he, if we can't connect with him on that level, we can connect with him on this level. He was a saver, not a spender, right? He was rich before this parable, and so he always, in building his business, he built a business to the point where he only spent what he had. He didn't spend more than he had. In fact, he spent less than he had. And any of us with our moderate incomes, if we begin early, if we spent below what we earned over a number of years, we too would become wealthy. This is a man that we might emulate, right? He is an impressive guy. What is so foolish about this foolish man? In my case, and in your case, we might not have barns. Some of us might have barns, but most of us don't have barns. But we have 401ks, and we have stocks, and we have bonds, or we might have cash in the mattress, and we have banks. And imagine that your banker comes to you, or my banker comes to me and says, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Which one do you want to hear first? Give me the good news. The good news is you've got $100,000 in my bank. Great. That's the good news. What's the bad news? The bad news is I can't insure one more dollar above $100,000. No problem. There's another barn down the street. There's another bank down the street. I'll leave that $100,000 in your bank, and I'll go down to this bank, this next barn down the street, and I'll put my next $100,000 in there. And once that $100,000 tops out, there's another barn, another bank, another silo for my money just down the street. And like the rich fool, I will just keep building silos and building barns and building banks. Even though I don't have a barn that has wood boards and a metal roof and a sign across it that says Sea Rock City, I have barns. I have banks. We are potentially building what this man built. And so, hear this. Jesus does not condemn riches. Jesus does not condemn wealth. But hear this too. He absolutely condemns the selfish misuse of money. He absolutely does. And so, this man who's admirable, he has these wonderful characteristics on the surface, he's got a problem, doesn't he? He's got a serious problem. In fact, by my accounting, he has seven problems. Give or take one or two, depending on how you add them up. He has a problem. His first problem is the problem that's overarching all of his problems. It affects each and every one of them. All of the other problems proceed from this problem. He has a God problem. He has a God problem. While he was building his business, while he was acquiring his wealth, while he was building barns, he left God out. He has an ownership problem. He thought he owned that farm. He thought he owned all that land. He thought he owned all those barns and all that grain. If he's a Jew, and we can assume that he is, then he has forgotten that the earth is the Lord's. Everything belongs to the Lord. We only hold it in trust for the Lord, and he forgot that. Yes, he put in his labor. Yes, he made that investment. Yes, he put a business plan together. But the raw materials for his business success came from God. The soil, the seed, the sunshine, and the rain were gifts from God that made him a wealthy man. His God problem led to his next problem. He had a greed problem. He most definitely had a greed problem. It sounds like this story is going to be a problem about justice. This man comes out of the crowd, interrupts Jesus, and says, Jesus, Jesus, make my brother share the inheritance with me. That would not be an unusual question, even though it seemed out of place in this context. Rabbis were those who knew the Mosaic law. They could settle these kinds of disputes. And so the question's not out of line. Jesus, make my brother give me my share of the inheritance. It seems like it's an issue of justice. Jesus, just do the right thing in this situation. Grant me justice. Jesus, of course, sees through it. And he says, man, who am I to get in between you and your brother? I am a uniter. I'm not a divider. And what you want to do is you already have division going on between you and your brother, and you're not going to have me stand between you. And then he turns to the crowd because he sees this man for what he is. And he says, beware. Beware of all kinds of greed. And our rich fool has a greed problem. His greed problem leads into his next problem, and that is a selfishness problem. He has a personal pronoun problem. Did you notice that? My crops, my barn, my grain, my soul, I'm going to do this. I'm going to talk to my soul. I. It's just him. He's got a selfishness problem. His selfishness problem then leads into his next problem. He's got an isolation problem. Have you noticed? This guy is rich, but he's alone. He's alone. There's a painting of this parable which shows this great big mansion and a man sitting in it, eating a meal all by himself. And there's a child at the door, knocking on the door for help. He's oblivious to the needs of that child. And next door, there's a much, much smaller house, and there are 8 or 10 people in there. And the warmth of that family and that community, love, just makes that house shine. He's alone, and hoarding possessions does that. It separates us from those who don't have those same kinds of possessions. That's just the way it works. And then his God problem, his greed problem, his selfishness problem, his isolation problem leads to him to create a definition of life that's all wrong. He's got a life problem. He defines life in such a small way. He defines it as eating and drinking and making merriment. That's it for him. Early retirement. Save enough for the retirement years and just eat and just drink and just be merry. Of life this rich man had. And all of that led into his sixth problem. He had a problem understanding where his security comes from. Where his security comes from. He thought, he was certain that his security came from his possessions, that what made him secure was his wealth. Well, here's the problem. And we know this by our own experiences, and we've seen this unfold all through history. If that's the way we see our security, we will never be secure, because no matter how much we have, we want more. And maybe if we get that better job, and maybe if we just hit that lottery, maybe, we'll finally be secure. We're never there. That's a treadmill that we can never conquer. He's got a security problem. He thinks his security depends on his possessions. He thinks that he owns his own life, but actually, his very life is on loan from God. Your very life is on loan from God. And God says to him in this parable, buddy, I'm calling in the loan. I'm calling in the loan. Tonight, you die. Tonight, you die. Where is your security? Your possessions are gone. As someone said, when they take your body to the cemetery, there's not a U-Haul behind the hearse. You're not taking anything with you. There was no security in your possessions. And his final problem is connected to his first problem. His first problem was that he left out God in his calculation, in his building of the business, in his accumulation of wealth. He left out God, and in the end, he left out others. He left out everybody else. He could have done so much. God had blessed him so abundantly. There was so much he could have done, and he left everybody out. He was all alone with his possessions and his wealth. I started off saying that this parable, that this gospel lesson was about greed. And it is about greed. Greed is a very strong theme in this parable and in this gospel lesson. But you know what I really think it's about? I think it's about abundance. It's a repeating theme in the parable if you go back and read it. It's about abundance. It's about abundant life. It's about the gift of abundant life that God has given us. We're so blessed. Even materially, we are blessed. We are rich. By world standards, we are wildly rich. We are so blessed. The man did one thing right. The rich fool did one thing right. He asked the right question. Now that I'm rich, now that I've had this bumper crop, Now that I've had to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. Now that I'm wealthy. What shall I do? What shall I do? We're blessed. In many ways, in lots of ways, we're blessed. We're blessed materially. The question is for us, what shall we do? Would you pray with me? And let's try, amidst the confusion that might be going on in our minds about thoughts that invade, let's try to understand that the Spirit of Christ lives within each one of us, is present to us. And let's pray and settle into that reality. And repeat after me from the 46th Psalm. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be still. Be still. Be.